Well, hi there. This is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back to me by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Sandra Nagy. We explore a number of interesting topics like how to rekindle the passion for educators that might have lost their way, developing empathy for people in your organization, and how to effectively critique ideas. I'm also excited to share that Sandra was generous enough to share with you, the Better Leaders, Better Schools listener, three amazing design thinking posters for you. No emails required to download these, just grab them from the show notes. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey, y'all. I'm Casey Bell of the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey there, Better Leaders. This is Danny, and I'm excited to connect with a new friend, Sandra Nagy. And with over 20 years of experience, Sandra has designed, developed, and delivered hundreds of learning opportunities to thousands of employees and educators. She's a firm believer in the capacity of educators to drive future skill development and in sustained professional development that leverages a blend of learning tools. Sandra leads the education practice at Future Design School, building strong academic partnerships with school leaders that help to drive their strategic priorities through consulting support, professional development, and efficacious curriculum resources. And we are so excited for you to join us on this show, Sandra.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and shout out to Amy who connected us. I know you'll be listening, and so I just want to say thank you. This is a wonderful conversation. Our pre-chat's been awesome. The show's going to be even better. Sandra, can we start with your perfect day at work? What does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So my perfect day at work is where I'm actually learning something new. And every single day, if I get to work with people who push my thinking, then that makes for a perfect day. However, I think it's also really, really important that in my perfect day at work, I'm actually working with people that I love working with. And I feel like this opportunity at Future Design School that I've had has been amazing because we've been able to craft a team of people that I love coming to work with every single day. I think when I think about working inside of schools, my perfect day happens when I get to spark some thinking and really light a fire for some educators. I think the moments that stick out for me the most are educators that are kind of 5 or 6 years into their careers, and we're running a professional development session, and they come up to me and they say, you know what, I was going to leave. I had really gotten to the point where 5 or 6 years in, I feel like I'm done. And today helped me to realize and remember why I got into education in the first place. And I'm so excited to go back into my classroom and try what I learned today. I can't think of a better way for a day to end. And I've had those opportunities over the last number of years to see that happen. And those are amazing days.
It's incredibly validating of the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, there are days where it's harder and you have to push people to think beyond their comfort zone. And and days where I look around the room when we're running a professional development session and I find those people that I can just see the light is not there. And going over and spending some time with them and really understanding why helps. And if I can push them even incrementally to try something new in their classroom, that to me is a win. And every single day I want there to be a win like that.
I don't know if I'm hearing it correctly, but if you go to somebody that's been teaching for a bit of time, that the lights have been turned off, the passion, they've lost it. But if you can understand why they're in that place, it opens up the conversation to maybe spark that thinking and turn the lights back on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like nobody goes into teaching because they want to get their summers off. I feel like most people go into teaching because they want to help others. And I think some of the teachers that I have the privilege of working with, unfortunately, have in some instances lost their way. And if you can just find that one spark and remind them of why they went into teaching in the first place and find a way to recapture their imagination, you can build on that and really help them to ultimately help the kids inside of their classrooms.
If I was a teacher that had lost their way, the lights are off, how might you approach me? Can you maybe role play a bit, or, you know, I don't know if there's a go-to question that you use, or if it's just, you know, personalized to every person, but the principals, I'm sure they observe this, you know, and they see their staff and they're disconnected.
Yeah.
Well, I want to give them some tools, some tips, right? That they can be.
Yeah, for sure. So I do think, to your point, is that it is personalized for each individual, and not looking at people as kind of groups that all think the same way, but actually being able to understand what is their motivation, what is their driver, what else is going on in their life outside of the classroom that might be precluding them from being able to be the best teacher they can be in the classroom, and then helping to dig in deeply on that. So being able to say to them, you know, talk to me about the best day. Like you asked me what my perfect day at work is.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the best day in your classroom. Like let's think back to that moment where you saw the light go on for a student. What happened? Why did it happen? And kind of starting from that asset place, let's talk about those things that have worked really, really well. And how do we have more of those opportunities happen? I think some of the work that we do with teachers, so we're focused on future skill development. How do we prepare kids when they leave your classroom to be really, really successful no matter where they end up? And helping teachers to realize that they're really the linchpin. They're the ones who can kind of spark that moment for students. And reminding them that they have the capability to do that, but in a personalized way. And it doesn't mean that every teacher has to be sparked in exactly the same way, but finding that thing that's going to turn the light back on for them, that makes me wake up every day.
Absolutely. And just to unpack that a bit and summarize and talk about it with the listeners, you know, to be curious, to come at it from a perspective of assets and abundance and what they can contribute. You know, not the negative that you're seeing, but calling out the positive. And then the other thing too, get them talking about a great time they experienced in class, right? So whether it's that perfect day or the perfect lesson, you know, I think too, when I try to develop relationships with people that I may work with, tell me about your kids, right? Like people love talking about their kids and it's fun to hear the unique and crazy things that they do. And then you're just connected on a human level, and then you can talk about business and move the ball forward. So I really appreciate that approach.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things on that, Danny, is that a lot of the work that we do is around developing empathy for your users when you're solving problems. So, you know, as we talk about working with kids to help them be problem solvers with a creative and flexible, adaptable skill set, how do we as leaders actually develop empathy for the people that we're trying to help push forward? So if you can't walk a mile in the teacher's shoes inside of your school and really take the time to understand who they are, it's going to be very, very hard to push them forward. So I would say, you know, my biggest thing on that is let's develop empathy from whatever perspective that might be for those teachers that we're trying to drive forward and start from where they're at. Right? We should be doing that with students. We should be doing that with teachers. We should be doing that with humans as we're solving problems for them. So I think that would be the key word that I would boil it down to for leaders. How do you develop empathy for the teachers in your building to help push their thinking forward?
and what I heard you say there. So you build on their experiences, you try to find out how their day's going, that kind of thing. The walk a mile in shoes, you know, that perspective. Anything else that you'd like the listeners to think about in terms of building empathy?
Yeah, I think also when you're building empathy for teachers, really understanding what tools you can provide to help move them forward from wherever they're at. And that doesn't mean that every teacher needs the same tool. So we wouldn't, you know, we talk about differentiating learning for students in the classroom. I really think about how do we differentiate the support experience for teachers inside of our schools as well. And it's not going to be one size fits all. It should never be one size fits all in learning, but that doesn't just apply to kids. It applies to adult learning as well. And I think too often we forget that they're learners too. So being able to pull out a different toolkit, being able to pull out different opportunities for them. You know, I always say to my own kids when they get upset with me because I do different things for them, that fair is not equal. And this idea that, you know, my older daughter will say to me, but you did something differently for my brother. And I was like, you're right. That's what he needed. Fair is not equal. And I repeat that mantra over and over. As long as we're being fair and really meeting people where they're at, it doesn't mean they all need the same thing.
Has that started to sink in with your kids?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping. It's a constant battle, right? But that's your job as a parent, is to really be able to kind of push them in different directions. And my kids are supremely different. So how do I differentiate their needs? And it doesn't always make for a pretty experience, but I know that they don't need the same thing. And I know that all kids in classes don't all need the same thing. So how do we make sure that we're giving kids what they need at the moments that they need them?
Mm-hmm. And there's leadership principles there, you know, as a parent, the consistency of that messaging, you know, that they hear, that's super important as a leader, as a parent. And then the paradox as well of we want personalized learning for kids, but not necessarily, we do actually want it for adults, but we forget. And I think we forget because, well, I don't know, my gut tells me a lack of preparation, maybe a lack of empathy, thinking from their perspective, and just doing what's easy, what's comfortable for me. Because if I just, you know, design this one presentation, everybody's going to get it this one way, now I'm done. You know, I don't have to think about all the different learners in front of me.
Absolutely. I mean, change is not easy, and staying in a place of comfort is usually not going to make for radical changes inside of a school, right? It's easy to stay in status quo. It really, really is, because you know what the next step is going to be, but it's not going to push what we need to have happening in schools. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. And learning is going to be uncomfortable for kids at moments too, and for teachers at moments too, but that's really how you make progress. Right? You may try things and they may not work and you may fail. And what you learn from that failure is what's really going to drive practice forward.
I like that. Learning can be uncomfortable, but that is an example of progress, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about your organization in just a second, but I really want to know, I want to go back to how we started this interview or conversation, I should say, and you talked about how you enjoy learning something new and people you love working with. So can you tell me something new that you're learning? And then what kind of people do you enjoy working with?
Absolutely. So, you know, Future Design School is an entrepreneurial endeavor that we started 4 years ago. And I'm learning to really embrace the entrepreneurial mindset. So this idea that, you know, we don't need to be looking at the world as obstacles, but rather turning those obstacles into opportunities that we can really solve. And I'm fortunate to work with a CEO who's not a first-time entrepreneur. Her name's Sarah Prevett, and she started and scaled a number of businesses. And every single day, I'm learning something new about building a business. And I actually come from those roots. So my mom was an entrepreneur, and I would say that most of my education around business came from my mom. But now it's really, really fun to be learning every day. And from that perspective, also pushing a team. Like, we are rapidly scaling across North America and into Europe, and being able to push a team and keep them motivated is awesome, but it starts with bringing in the right people. And, you know, when we hire, we're really, really focused on people that are passionate and believe in our mission and our vision, but also don't stop And they have this relentless idea that we need to keep pursuing to get better. And we do that all the time here, right? We debrief everything that we're doing and make sure that we're in a constant state of iteration and that we're meeting our students' and teachers' needs. And we challenge each other. And I think that that is great. And I think, you know, this idea of being able to debate ideas back and forth and throw up great ideas, try them if they work, you know, double down on them if they don't. Throw them out fast, talk about why it didn't work. I think you need to have people around you that believe in that and that know, and knowing that they have your back and knowing that we have their backs and that we'll always be there for them, whether a workshop goes really, really well, which they most often do, or, you know, whether they're having trouble getting home from New York City because, you know, all of the weather has not been working in your favor, that you can just call somebody and say, I'm having a bad day. And I feel like we're super, super lucky to have people that have each other's backs here.
That's fantastic. You know, at the time of this recording, we're reading a book called Great at Work. And chapter 7 is about fighting and uniting and how this one company really took their organization to a high level because they were able to debate, let the best ideas win, but they also made the environment safe so that people would participate in those debates. I think that can be, at least my experience, that's tough for educators. They want to be nice. They want everyone to feel good.
Yeah.
And not that you have to be nasty when critiquing an idea, right? Because again, it's about letting the best ideas win and not taking it personally. But I'm wondering if there's anything that you've observed within your organization that's made it safe so that people could have those fun debates.
Absolutely. So part of the work that we do is around helping teachers get ideas out there and then walking them through a process of effective critiquing. And we, you know, as a leader, as someone who's driving leadership inside of schools, I fundamentally believe that if you can't give feedback and critique in a constructive way, then you're not really going to push thinking forward. And so you think about it from the perspective of how do I build on? How do I yes and what people are saying? How do I do, you know, with some kids, 2 stars and a wish? Like there's scaffolding that you can put into place to really make critiquing and feedback giving very, very constructive. And it is less about focusing on being nasty. You don't do that, right? And that's not what it's about. It's that we're all in this together and it's in the spirit right from the beginning, setting up the culture, that the spirit is there, that we are always in pursuit of being better. And the way that we can be better is together, because diverse opinions sitting around the table spur thinking. And if everybody is sitting around the table and just saying yes to everything without adding on, then you start to suffer from groupthink. And that's not what we're about. That's not how we're going to make progress. We need to really be able to bring our ideas to the table with our whole selves. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. Sometimes I throw ideas out there and I'm basically told like, that's crazy and it's wrong and that's okay. And then you move on.
That's right. It's okay. And you move on. And two very practical things I just want to offer the listeners quickly. You know, you can have cards, and in Great at Work, they talk about the company Heineken. They had 3 cards. Green means I'm all for it. Ask me why. Red was, you know, I have a concern and have a solution as well. So it's not just, you know, your idea sucks, but I have a idea of how to make it better or a solution to this problem. And then they had a gray card too, which was all about, I think this is a shiny object. We need to get back on track, you know, because sometimes we could really get unfocused. And then the only other thing I want to add here for the listeners is that you can ask people specifically to critique the idea, right? Why shouldn't we do X? Even if you know as a leader, like this is the best idea and you get a general sense from the meeting and the participants that everybody's on board, call on somebody who is for this idea and say, why shouldn't we do this, right? And have a real great conversation around there so that you can break out of that groupthink. So Sandra, thanks for letting me offer those practical examples.
One of the other things I wanted to say is some of the work that we do is strategically with school leaders. So, you know, as a school leader, you may have a mission and vision and goals that you're trying to drive forward and you want to bring your team alongside.
Yes.
And you want them to really be engaged in the process. So to your point before about the cards, we play a card game also, and we call it priority poker.
Okay.
So when we're working with school leaders and we want to prioritize, say, an action plan. So we've got a high level plan and then we want to take, you know, our high level plan and make it really actionable for the leaders that are going to be responsible for making those things happen. If we can't agree on which priority should be first, second, and third, we give people a set of cards. And the cards have just numbers on them from 0 to 3. And we play this game called priority poker. And we put the priority in the middle of the table. And we say, okay, everybody gets to vote on it, but you only get to use your number 3, which is the most important one. So that way we can really see, you know, for me, it might be a 3 and for you, it might be a 0. Then we can engage in the dialogue deeply because clearly we're not on the same page then. Why? And so how do we have that conversation? But without, you know, someone sitting quietly, it means that all of the voices come to the table in a really, really simple way.
I love it. Very practical. It sounds like a fun version of poker that everybody should play. And I'll tell you what, Sandra, let's talk about Future Design School. Can you tell me the story of your organization?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we've been around for about 4 years now. And we were started, as I mentioned earlier, by Sarah Prevett, who's a serial entrepreneur. And she started, scaled, and sold a couple of businesses. One of her very first businesses was focused on connecting entrepreneurs online before there were all these incubators all over the world connecting entrepreneurs. She sold that business, started another online media property, and then she became a venture capitalist. And she was sitting across the table from some of the smartest people in the world, as she describes it, because it's her story, pitching her on ideas that she didn't really feel were going to add value to the world. Lots of great ones, lots of great success stories out of there. But she sort of had this moment where she said, you know, why is this happening? Like, why are people pitching on things that are not going to add value? And she said, you know, I think maybe we need to start younger. We really need to develop problem-solving skill set for students that helps them right from a very young age to be looking at the world's problems as opportunities that they can actually solve and not waiting until adulthood to really think about it. And so to do that, how do you build their skills of problem solving? And that's when I met her. So as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I've been in education for about 20 years in the nonprofit and the for-profit world. And I had reached a stage where I was ready to do something totally different in education. And she said to me, let's build a school. And let's build a school where we bring together the best and brightest kids and the best and brightest teachers and create a curriculum where people solve real problems. And we sort of had an epiphany together that building our own building was not actually going to have an impact in a big way. And as we started to go out and talk to school leaders and educators and students, what we realized is that there are amazing people standing in front of kids every single day, and they do want to do this type of work. So how do we empower teachers to build future-ready skills in students? And that's really our reason for being. And so we do that from a strategic consulting perspective, as I've mentioned kind of a little bit throughout, where we work with school leaders and help them to amplify and deepen their mission, vision, and really be actionable about goals. So every little while you've been saying, you know, that sounds practical. That's by design. Like, what we want to do is make sure that people that we're working with have practical applications that they can take back into their buildings and use. We don't want to be kind of standing up on stage and telling you this would be really great to do. What we want to do is really help you as a leader to make this happen in your building. So we do that from a strategy perspective. With teachers, we do sustained professional development. So what we want to do is help them to really think deeply about what they're trying to do in their schools and drive future-ready practice forward. And so practically what that means is that we really are thinking about cultivating critical thinking, communication, collaboration, creativity through the lens of the big ideas of entrepreneurship, giving, you know, global and future vision. So as a teacher inside of your school, you often get told you need to bring the real world into the classroom.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm a teacher and I went to school, I probably did fairly well in school because I got into university and I was able to go to teacher's college and then I landed back in a school. And you know what? That's my real world. And so my vision into what's coming down the pipe around machine learning and robotics and AI, I don't actually have a view into that. And I don't know how to get that view. So what we're trying to do is bring that in for teachers and show them how the world is changing and show them that they don't need to know all the ins and outs of that. But what they want to do is cultivate kids that believe that they have the capacity to learn that and to really use those skills in the future. So, you know, a lot of people say the robots are going to come in and take over jobs and do all of that. I do believe they are going to do that for a lot of jobs, but I think it's going to open up a different realm of jobs for kids. And if we don't know what those jobs are, then what we need to be building are problem solvers who have the ability to kind of go out into the world, use the skills that they've cultivated throughout their educational career and attack them in a really confident, practical way. So I talked a lot there, but you probably have questions.
Lots of questions, but we'll ask them right after this pause and a message from our sponsors. Organized Binder is a proven education success platform. Case studies show it develops the skills and habits students need for success. Organized Binder provides teacher a common structure and language for daily and unit planning without interfering with the teacher's individual style. With Organized Binder, parents gain a clear picture of what their student is learning and how to best support them. Organized Binder equips school leaders with a universal solution to unify and build positive school culture. Visit organizedbinder.com to learn how this education success platform supports students, teachers, and parents. Yeah, I think I might need to bring you on the podcast again because I have about 50 questions, you know, from all that. And I am just fired up, super excited just about the work you're doing. It sounds absolutely amazing. And I know the listeners are really interested too. At the end of the podcast, we'll talk about how to connect with you. So that hopefully more schools are able to work with your great organization. But the one question I would like to ask right now is what's an example of maybe a project or a school leader or a student, you know, something they produce that you're most proud of in the last few months?
Absolutely. And I can actually do you one better on that and talk about a school district that we've been working with in a sustained way over the last 3 years.
Okay.
So about 3 years ago, we were introduced to a school leader up here in Canada who had just released a strategic plan to his district. And part of the plan had a pillar in it around innovation. And this school district had done a lot of work around actually, you know, building innovation spaces. The teachers had tried some things. Some had worked really well. Some had been, you know, in their words, a failure. I don't think that it's ever a failure. They could pull a lot of learning from it. And he said to us, you know, how can you work with us practically to actually make this innovation pillar a reality? And so this is how we work with him. We have something that we call our Future Ready Skills Index, which allowed us to go into the high schools in this district and get a sense of where the schools were at from a number of factors, environmental, from culture, climate, you know, how the spaces were set up, through to the student competency development. So how are we getting kids to really develop those competencies that are going to prepare them for the world? How is teacher fluency relative to developing those competencies? And where did curriculum and assessment align with the development? When we do this Future Skills Index, we actually work by going in and observing classrooms, doing anonymous surveying with the teachers, students, and administrators. And then we also do one-on-one interviewing with teachers and focus groups with students to get their sense. We triangulate all of that data, and then we give back a report to the leader of the district in this case. From there, there are some levers that get really identified. You know, if we pulled this lever, it would have this amount of impact inside of the school. And some of the levers that we talk about are professional development that we can do in a sustained way for teachers. So in this particular district, we worked with the teachers over 3 years. We started by introducing them to the concept of design thinking as a tool that they could use to solve problems as a beginning stage. And then we worked with them over a number of months to think about hacking their curriculum to embed these competencies while at the same time still being able to cover curriculum in an effective way. And part of that is actually just giving teachers permission and saying, you know, there is a curriculum. And in the curriculum, there are these overall expectations that you need to cover. And there are some examples of how you cover these overall expectations. Some of them were written in 2009. Some of them were written in 2003. And the world's changed. So, yeah. They're just examples. And you actually have latitude through the government, through the Ministry of Education here, to really open that up and broaden the thinking. And then the teachers would go back into their classrooms and try some of the new stuff that they had built in the workshops. And then they would come back and they would talk to their facilitator about what worked, what didn't work, why didn't it work, what suggestions would you give me, what feedback would you give me? And then they would go back and try again. And working with them and being their partner in this sustained way around professional development was important. On top of that, we work with the principals inside of the school and do their really practical action planning. So if these are the levers we're going to pull, what are the steps you're taking in the first semester, in the second semester to really drive that forward? And I, you know, when I work with those principals, because I work with them directly, we have check-in points. And they talk to me and they're held accountable for how they're moving this stuff forward. And we have this great relationship where if there's some issues that they're facing, they can reach out to me and ask me for that. Right now, in this third year of working with them, we're actually developing their consultants and coaches inside of the board to be able to drive some of this PD themselves with their teachers. And the other thing that we've introduced, which we're super, super excited about this year, is a micro-credentialing certificate program. So being able to train teachers inside of school districts to deliver additional micro-credentials on top of the diploma to kids. And we do this in middle school and in high school. And we have certificates in design thinking, entrepreneurship, leadership, and computational thinking and coding. And this district is also developing their leaders to be able to do that. So holistic. We can really be really, really big, but we also sometimes just get brought in to do professional development for teachers and, you know, in a workshop style, and then they connect to our community post the workshop and see what other people are doing and be able to ask questions that way.
Yeah, I would say that I'm speechless. I just love hearing the work that you all are doing. And I'm serious. We're going to have to get you back on the show to dig into this more because there's so much there. But just in terms of wrapping up this episode, let me ask you two final questions. One, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
What problem do you want to solve? I would say it would be one of the things I would put on there. And the other one I would say is, you know, whose shoes did you walk in today? Because, you know, as I'm saying that for teachers, as I'm saying that for leaders, I think in this moment in the world, I think it's really, really crucial that we continue to build kids' empathy. And, you know, we can't take the stuff that's happening in the media at face value without saying to kids, whose shoes did you walk in today? Because they need to think outside of themselves if we're going to not have the world implode. That's all I'll say politically.
I think hopefully everybody understands the message there. I think if they're listening to this show, they do. Well, Sandra, you're a great guest. This has been a wonderful conversation. You've made it to the end of the show. And this question you knew was coming. You're building a school from the ground up. Yep. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school and what would be your top three priorities?
I've thought about this a lot because we were, as I said, going to think about building a school at the beginning. I think the biggest thing for me is connecting kids out to the real world. And I fundamentally believe that a priority in a school should be that all kids feel empowered to ask and understand the response to the question, how will this help me in the real world? So as we are teaching them and you know, in some schools trying to fill them with content, they're not going to explicitly understand it and keep it in their heads unless they understand how it connects to the real world. I want to have a building, but I want to have a building that encourages getting out of the building. I would also love to get rid of the artificial age and time boxes that we put kids into, because I know that kids are working at different capacities at different moments in different subject areas. And I think we age bind and time bind them because that's the model that we know from school. So how do we kind of break that down? I mean, choice and voice is huge for me for kids. And I say all of this, and I would preface it with, we don't need to throw away the baby with the bathwater. So the stuff that's working, we do need to scaffold and front-end load kids and give them, you know, some content. But what they do with it is what would really matter to me in my school. And the last thing I would say is that we need to find a way to get rid of grades. Because you know, we need to do some type of measurement, but the grades are actually holding certain kids back, especially your high-flying kids, because they're so afraid to take a risk at the risk of losing their A+ or whatever you call it in your district. How do we help them to show mastery of competence? And learning something doesn't mean doing it over and over again. Once I've mastered it, let me move on at my pace. So, you know, you talked about personalized learning. What does that really mean? And what does that really look like? In my school, there would be personalized learning for every kid, and it would be inquiry-based.
Sandra, like I said, you're a wonderful guest. How can people reach out to you and Future Design School?
Absolutely. So you can find us online at futuredesignschool.com. And we're also on Twitter, and we post a lot at F Design School. Every Sunday night, we curate a reading for people, so they can take a look at that. And we're super active from that perspective. And if you want to reach out directly to me, you can reach me at sandra@futuredesignschool.com.
Thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.